while the international community is horrified by the atrocities going on in Syria, it seems that the key nations are unable to agree just what to do with Syria's government and its leader Bashar al-Assad. Some are moving for a very strong response in the form of armed intervention, as was done on Iraq. But it seems that many more have become war-weary due to the bad experience with Iraq. So here we are, while thousands are dying in Syria due to atrocities of its own government, the nations of the world are horrified but paralyzed by the dilemma to wage war or not to wage war. Now, while the world is in a dilemma, the Christian and the church should have no dilemma at all on the issue of warfare. Para sa Kristiyano at para sa Iglesia, wala tayong alinlangan sa usapin ng pakikipaglaban, sapagkat napakaliwanag na ang isang bagay na ginagawa ng mananampalataya sa kanyang buhay Kristiyano ay tinawag sa Bagong Tipan na isang pakikipaglaban, one of the favorite figures that Apostle Paul uses in his letters to describe the Christian life and mission is one of warfare. And if it is a warfare, that implies a clash between adversarial parties. And warfare means we are after victory over our foes. Kung pakikipaglaban, may naglalabang mga pwersa, at tayo bilang nakikipaglaban ay hinahanap natin na tayo ay magtagumpay laban sa ating mga kalaban. Subalit napakahalaga na unawain natin anong uri ng pakikipaglaban ito at sa kanino tayo nakikipaglaban, ano ang pinaglalaban natin. Understanding the implication of this figure of warfare goes a long way to a mature understanding of what is expected of us in the Christian life. And maturity, as I've said in this series time and again, is our goal in living the Christian life. Isang pangangailangan natin, isang ambisyon natin sa buhay Kristiyano ay ang magkaroon ng maturidad sa ating pananampalataya. And we are in a series of expositions of that portion of Scripture which portrays the maturity of the Apostle Paul. I have explained in this series the section of 2 Corinthians 10 to 13. While difficult, yet there is something to explain the difference of tone and language between the earlier part, which is very gentle, very encouraging, and this latter part we are studying, which is quite sharp and rebuking in tone. Ang dahilan nga ay dalawang uri ang kinakausap dito ni Pablo. Yung mga nagsisi ng kanilang kasalanan sa iglesia ng Corinto ay tinatrato ni Apostol Pablo ng marami siyang binibigay na encouragement, pampapalakas ng loob. Subalit yung mga minorya na nanatiling hindi nagsisisi, itong 2 Corinthians 10 to 13 ang para sa kanila. And 2 Corinthians 10 to 13 uses tone and language that are confrontational precisely because Paul is addressing the unrepentant among the membership of the church, which gives us the important principle that mature fellowship in the church calls for readiness for Christian confrontation. We must correct this impression that when we talk of fellowship, everything is fun, everything is happy meetings. Well, it's that, but more than that. And where there is maturity, there will be a part in the relationship of believers in the church when we will need to lovingly confront. That's part of maturity. Now I invite you again to turn to 2 Corinthians 10. We are now dealing with that part in which Paul broadens his description of the Christian life. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, and we'll now read verses 3 to 6. 2 Corinthians 10, 3 to 6. For though we walk in the flesh, we are not waging war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, and take every thought captive to obey Christ, being ready to punish every disobedience when your obedience is complete. Now, as I explained last week, Apostle Paul picks up from the suspicions stated by his opponents against him that he was walking according to the flesh. That's verse 2. And what Paul does is to use the figure of warfare not in reference to the confrontation that we must do with brethren, but rather in describing the whole of the Christian life. And last week, we looked at the categorical denial of verse 3, where Paul says, we do not wage war according to the flesh. Even though we are walking still in the flesh, and I explained that that means for the Apostle Paul, he accepts the fact that he remains human, and remaining human includes weakness and even sinfulness. Becoming a Christian does not make us any more than human or less than human. We are still human, and that includes weakness and sinfulness. Apostle Paul concedes that. But then he emphasizes the point that while remaining human, the concern, the mission of the Christian life is not merely human. And that is something that will confront us in many occasions of the Christian life. Right now, as we are worshiping, you can do this just like any human beings can do it. And that's not being a Christian. To be a Christian in worship, we must do it more than what ordinary humans will do. And that means a true and genuine communion with God, true confrontation by the Word of God. So from this, Apostle Paul now describes the Christian life in warfare language. And I'm going to use the same message I used last week. The mature Christian is committed to his spiritual warfare. Ang Kristiyanong may maturidad ay handa sa kanyang spiritual na pakikipaglaban. Kung hindi ka handa sa pakikipaglaban, maaari mong angkinin na ikaw ay Kristiyano ngunit walang maturidad. Ang tunay na may maturidad ay yung Kristiyanong tanggap niya na sa habang siya ay narito sa mundo, kasama sa buhay Kristiyano ang pakikipaglaban. And in verses 4 to 6, Paul broadens this figure of warfare in describing the Christian life. We must wage it. There's no dilemma as far as the Christian warfare is concerned. You must fight it or you lose. But we must be committed to maintaining the character of our warfare as being spiritual. Yung ating pakikipaglaban ay tinawag kong espiritual, hindi makalaman, hindi pantao lamang. Ang ating pakikipaglaban ay nasa larangan ng banal na espiritu. Paano natin pananatilihin ang pagka-espiritual ng ating pakikipaglaban? How are we to maintain the spirituality of our warfare? Well, using the language of the Apostle Paul in our text, let me suggest three things that we must maintain to be spiritual. First, spiritual weapons with power to destroy. Spiritual weapons with power to destroy. Mga espiritual na sandata na may kapangyarihang bumuwag. Second, spiritual battle for the conquest of mind. Spiritual battle for conquest of mind. Spiritual na labanan para sa pagsakop ng kaisipan. And third, spiritual resolve for censure in church. Spiritual resolve for censure in church. Spiritual na resolusyon na magdisiplina sa iglesia. So first of all then, if we will maintain the spirituality of our warfare, we must maintain the spiritual weapons with power to destroy. Paul is explaining his denial that he is waging war according to the flesh. His warfare is not merely human. He is maintaining the spirituality of his warfare by minding the spirituality of his weapons. And he asserts concerning the character of his weapons, his words are the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh. Now what does that mean for the church? It means that the tools used by the church are those provided and empowered by the Holy Spirit. Ang mga kasangkapang ginagamit ng iglesia ay yung mga bigay at pinagbibisa ng banal na espiritu. Those are our tools. The tools used by the church are provided and empowered by the Holy Spirit. Now the word in the original refers to any tool or implement, but because it is in the context of warfare, it is understandable that the translation is weapons. It is correct. But Paul used the word for tools in general. And he characterizes the tools in the negative as not of the flesh. And as I explained last week, the positive implied is of the Holy Spirit. Ang kabaligtaran ng laman ay hindi yung espiritu natin. Ang kabaligtaran ng laman ay ang banal na espiritu. Kaya ang sinasabi niyang hindi ito makalaman, ang tinutukoy niyang positibo, ang mga kasangkapang ginagamit sa iglesia ay yaong bigay kaloob at binibigyang bisa ng banal na espiritu. So the tools we use in order to carry on our warfare must be deliberately, not merely human tools. They must be those whose origin and enabling power force Christians to depend on the Holy Spirit. And what are these tools? What are these weapons? They are those that center on and around the Word of God. Ano itong mga kasangkapan na ito? Ito yung mga kasangkapang nakasentro at nakapalibot sa salita ng Diyos. Ang magandang komentaryo dito ay yung talata na familiar tayo sa Ephesians 6 na tumutukoy sa baluti ng Kristiyano, the Christian armor. At nung isa-isahin ni Pablo yung bawat pyesa ng baluti ng Kristiyano, ay matatandaan ninyo na ang natatanging kasangkapan sa baluti ng Kristiyano na panlaban ay yung tabak. It is the only offensive weapon in the whole armor of the Christian, which means that every piece is for defensive reasons in order that we may thrust the sword. It is the sword that is the central weapon. Everything else is in order to make the sword useful. So that's the weapon of the church. That is the tool of the Christian, that we may have the Word of God moving and being empowered by the Holy Spirit in our Christian life, in our church life. We use the Word. And when we pray in order that that word may take effect on us and on those who hear us. When we exercise Christian graces, what are Christian graces but reflection of the word? So everything is centered upon, surrounding around the word of God. Now, did you know that back in the days of ancient warfare, the sword was the most expensive piece of metal? Ito yung pinakamahal na uri ng metal na ginagawa noon sapagkat dyan ibinubuhos lahat ng skill ng sino mang gumagawa ng mga metal tools. They treasured their sword. Now, to be mature as a challenge to us is to depend with confidence on the Spirit to empower the Word. That's the weapon we have. And we must insist on this because we are in a generation of Christians which has practically lost confidence in the power of the Word. Ours is a generation that is occupied with using other tools that seem more promising and more assuring. Entertainment seems to make immediate effect. Politics have clear results. Money talks, they say. Now, the word is not totally abandoned. It is merely marginalized. It is used like stickers on their new tools. And as stickers, they are able to remind others they're still Bible followers, but it's no longer the Bible they use as the central tool. They use entertainment. They are intoxicated with politics. They do everything that other human organizations employ, which is what Paul deliberately avoids, not according to the flesh, not merely human. And in order for us to be as deliberate as Paul, we need to be very careful to make sure it is the Word of God that we use for our Christian life, for our church mandate. And in order to emphasize the power of the word, Paul uses the word, it is able to destroy. Twice he uses that word. It can destroy. And he uses the word which means pull down, cast down, buwagin, pabagsakin. Ito ang kapangyarihan daw ng kanyang sandata. Yung sandatang ginagamit niya na salita ng Diyos ay may lakas, may kapangyarihan, buwagin, magpabagsak. That is the powerful effect of the word. It is put in the negative to keep the figure of warfare. But the point is, the word, when used by the Spirit, is effective. The Spirit is not pledged to empower entertainment. I mean, entertainment can entertain as long as the entertainer is good. The Spirit is not pledged to empower politics for the advance of the kingdom of Christ. What the Spirit is pledged to empower is the Word of God. And if we will use the tools surrounding the Word of God, then center your Christian life on the Word. Use the Word of God. Pray in your prayer life the Word of God. Live by the Word of God. And our church must remain a community of the Word, where everything is centered on the Word. When we have our prayer meeting, the prayer meeting is about the Word. And everything else we do has something to do with the Word of God, because we believe in its power. At any time, the Spirit attends to it in the manner that He pleases, it will take effect. One day, Charles Spurgeon was visiting a church where he was scheduled to speak, and he was going to test the acoustics. Back in those days when there was no microphone, he wanted to make sure of the acoustics. And he recited John 1:29, "Behold the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world." Well, unknown to him, there was a worker in the building who heard those words, and the Spirit used those words to convict this man, and this man was converted. And my point is, at any time the Spirit attends His word in the most surprising of ways, He can make use of it. And would to God that He will use the word from this pulpit, in our tracts, in whatever way we try to circulate it, in order that it may reach the lost, that it may empower our lives, that it may expand the mission of the church. But that is our tool. If we will remain spiritual in our warfare, we must maintain the spiritual weapons, and they are centered upon the Word of God. Secondly, spiritual battle for conquest of mind. Now, any battle operation must be clear on the objective of the operation. And soldiers and war operators, commanders are trained to make plans how to do a particular operation. They will have their objective, they will have their entry plan, they will have their exit strategy. All of those details are planned. Now, what is the objective of the Christian warfare? Well, again, Paul does not leave us guessing what that is. The church is engaged in a battle for the persuasion of the mind to submit to the knowledge of God. Ang pakikipaglaban ng iglesia ay para hikayatin ang isip na magpasakop sa kaalaman ng Diyos. That's clear in our text. Listen to Paul. "We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, and take every thought captive to obey Christ." Every word used has to do with the substance of the mind, arguments, opinion, thoughts. What are these but contents of the mind? And what we are seeking to do is make them captives to Christ. Pasukuin sila kay Kristo. Kaya hindi ito labanan na gumagamit ng sandatang panakot para sila tumanggap ng ating mensahe na siyang ginawa ng mga colonizers. Hindi ganun ang ginagawa natin. Kundi hinihikayat natin ang kanilang isip. So it's not a political campaign. It is not an entertaining performance. It is not gimmickry of any kind. It is battle for the minds. for people to accept the true knowledge of God against their thoughts. Paul understands the vital nature of this, that he compares this to the ancient battle of what he called strongholds. In ancient battles, when an invading army besieges the walled city, the fiercest battle will occur on key posts known as strongholds. Doon ang pinakamatindi ang konsentrasyon. Doon ang pinakamakapal ang mga muog, mga pader. Once a stronghold is broken, the city practically is conquered. And that is what Paul, how Paul considers the mind. That's the stronghold. Once you get a grip of it, you conquer the man. You see, it's not emotion. You can play on people's emotions, manipulate them through music, you haven't conquered the man. But conquer his mind so that his thoughts submit to Christ, you have conquered the man. That's the point. Those are the turning points. Historians will tell us that the turning point of the Second World War is the invasion of Normandy that happened on June 6, 1944, known as D-Day. As they were planning, counting towards the day, they would say D-10 day, meaning 10 more days before the day of invasion, D-9 day, D-8 day, until D-Day. Thousands were dead on both sides. But it was the key turning point that finally broke the back of the Nazis. Well, to us, the turning point, which will entail many sacrifices, is the conquest of the mind. That's our Normandy. So to be mature, if we turn it to ourselves, to be mature requires being equipped with right thoughts from the Word of God. Kung tayo magkakaroon ng maturidad, nasa isip din. Hindi ito kapag magaang ang iyong emosyon, gagawin mo, at kapag mabigat, hindi mo gagawin. Ang Kristiyanong may maturidad, isip ang pinapairal. There will be moments when we are down. Everybody has his down moment. But there should not be a time when our minds are not equipped with the Word of God. That's the mature. Listen to Hebrews 5:13 and 14 in distinguishing between the mature and the one who is not mature. Everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, since he is a child. But solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. You want a simple definition of the mature? The mature is one who lets the word rule his mind and thereby his decisions and actions. We need right thoughts from the scripture in order to make mature decisions and steps of actions. If you want to be mature, ask yourself what is the place of the word in your thinking. Not so much in your emotion as it is in your thinking. Not in your lips, that's easy, but in your thoughts. When Augustine first made the effort to read the Bible for himself, he said this in his Confessions. He found a book that was not for the proud. And that is still the effect of the Bible. When sincerely and honestly read, it exposes our sins, our pride, and we are forced by the grace of God to humble ourselves before the Word of God. When was the last time we've had something of that experience with the Word of God, when it had a conquest of our thought? Not as it is done today. People can cite scripture for their quotable quotes. and for bumper stickers and for spices on their essays. It's the thought, how it rules your thought. And finally, spiritual resolve to censure in church. If you will maintain the spirituality of our warfare, Apostle Paul now makes a direct application to the church in Corinth. He says, being ready to punish every disobedience when your obedience is complete. And what it teaches us is that a church ready for spiritual warfare must deal with its own issues of obedience and disobedience. Ang iglesyang handa sa pakikipaglaban ay dapat na hinaharap ang mga usapin nito ng pagsunod at hindi pagsunod. It is like Paul is telling the Corinthian church, how can you wage warfare in the world when you do not use your weapon for internal issues? And the action of censure in the church, where censure is required, is a test of its maturity. And on that test, many churches are immature, even plainly disobedient. Apostle Paul considers this punishment of disobedience as a test of complete obedience. Ang sabi niya, pag pinarusahan na ninyo ang hindi sumusunod, diyan makukumpleto ang inyong pagsunod. Yan ang maturidad ng isang iglesia. Totoo na dapat ang iglesia ay lumalago sa doktrina. Sana nangyayari yan sa atin. Maganda sa isang iglesia na pag-uusapan natin mga usapin ng etika, mga issues ng lipunan, ginagawa natin yan dito. Subalit, isang bagay na dapat harapin ng iglesia ay kung may mga bagay ng hindi pagsunod, ay merong kaukulang ginagawa. At ito ang isang bagay na harapin natin. Did you know that during wartime, a commander has license to shoot a disloyal soldier? Kung nakita niyang umaatras, pwede niyang barilin during wartime. E ang punto rito ay sa iglesyang nakikipaglaban, hindi maaaring magkibit-balika tayo sa mga maliwanag na larawan ng hindi pagsunod. That's the maturity of the church. Now, again, turn it to ourselves. To be mature requires dealing with personal issues of obedience and disobedience. We are at war in the world using our weapons, but the church must have internal application. That's what Paul is saying. But on our own Christian undertaking, we have our own inner war. And the word remains our weapon against our internal warfare. How well kept is your weapon, my dear Christian? Do you hone your sword in your mind? You hone it through reading, through meditation. And when you do, it will spotlight those issues of obedience. Are they issues to you? Are you fighting your war? Maturity is not defined by personality, and how often we make that mistake. The talkative is often mistaken for being mature. And you have such character in Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress named Talkative. He can out-talk you on any issues. Until Christian, the leading character of Bunyan, turned to Talkative and asked him after he has discoursed on great theology, how true is this in your heart? Christian asks. And all that Talkative can do was to he and ho. How true is the word in your own Christian life? Issues of personal obedience can be covered up by joining the war of the church and yet fail your own internal warfare. Something like this was said in Song of Solomon, chapter 1, verse 6, where the Shunammite said, they made me keeper of the vineyards, but my own vineyard I have not kept. Ginawa nila akong tagapag-alaga ng kanilang mga ubasan, ngunit yung sarili kong ubasan, hindi ko naalagaan. And something of that figure can be true of us. We join the activities of the church. We join the warfare of the church, and that's good. We want an all-member involvement in the church. But what are you doing with your own internal war? You may have heard from me of William Wilberforce at the time when he was at the height of his campaign against slave trade. One old woman asked him, "But Mr. Wilberforce, what place do you have for your soul?" And Wilberforce sadly confessed, "Madam, I have almost forgotten that I have a soul." Oh, I'm sure he would have made remedy of that. But it does happen sometimes when we are at the height of what we are doing in terms of activities in the church, in vocation, and in many other things where we try to apply the word, we forget our own souls. May it never be. If we are to fight our warfare, maintain its spirituality, we have the weapon around the Word of God. The battle is in the mind more than anywhere else. It is in the mind. And one test is obedience in the church, obedience in our own personal life. It is good to look at life as entertaining, but the mature looks at life as a warfare. And therefore, it is right to ask if we are still fighting our war as we sing our last hymn, "Who is on the Lord's side? Who will serve the King? Who will be His helpers, other lives to bring? Who will leave the world's side? Who will face the foe?" So are we still facing the foe? The foe that may be in our internal system, the foe that may be within the church, and definitely the foe that is in the world. We have the weapon to fight with, and our goal is the conquest of the mind. Let us fight our battles. Let's close in prayer. Dakilan aming Diyos at Ama, tulungan mo na unawain namin na ang aming buhay Kristiyano, ang aming pananampalataya, at ang aming misyon bilang iglesia ay isang pakikipaglaban. At bilang pakikipaglaban, naghahanap kami ng tagumpay, ngunit ang pakikipaglaban na ito ay espiritual na pakikipaglaban, nasa larangan ng Espiritu, at ito nawa ang tunay na pagsikapan namin sa iyong biyaya na panatilihin namin. And if you will maintain the spirituality of our warfare, we need to stick to the spiritual weapons that are provided and empowered by the Holy Spirit. And those are weapons that are centered upon the Word being the one offensive weapon that we have in order to thrust into enemy territory. Grant, O Lord, that we may have that confidence in the Word. Once attended by the Spirit with power, it will create its effect, an effect which is here described in the form of destroying. It has destructive effect against our foes, against our enemies. And grant that we may believe in its power. You, the Holy Spirit is not pledged to empower entertainment or politics or business. His pledge is to empower the Word, and grant that our church will remain to be a community that is gathered and surrounding around the Word of God. And may you demonstrate the power of that Word in changing the lives of sinners as they submit to the rule of Christ. And the goal that we have in using the Word is the conquest of mind. It is not manipulating emotions, not mere lip service. It is when minds are persuaded by the Word of God that the man himself is made captive to the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is our desire. Make this church a church that continues to be active in the campaign of the conquest of the mind. And this reminds us that if we will be mature in our own Christian life, maturity takes the Word of God as it rules in the mind, that we are not to govern our Christian life by the whims of our emotions, not by the caprice of moods, but only by the rule of the Word that is governing the mind. Make us more mature in this light, that we let our minds be governed by the Word of God. And the application of this to the church is the resolve to address issues of obedience and disobedience. And Apostle Paul tests the completeness of obedience of the Corinthian church by their punishing of disobedience. And censure is one such test for the maturity of the church. But it also reminds us individually as Christians that our maturity demands of us to address our own internal issues of obedience and disobedience. And we are still to use the Word of God as our weapon in those personal issues. Grant, Lord, that we would not hide behind the group activities of the church when we have personal issues to deal with. Grant that we will still use the Word for ourselves, for our own growth in obedience, for the mortification of disobedience. So grant that both as church and as individual believers, we may be loyal soldiers in the thick of the fight, believing that the victory has been earned by the Lord Jesus Christ. It is not a thankless fight. It is a fight where victory is already assured, but we must wage it. We must wage our warfare. Grant that we may have the grace so to do, to your glory. In Jesus' name we pray all these things. Amen.